Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Rail blockade continues. The impact grows more and more. You spoke with your fellow premiers. You called a conference call as the chairman of the Council of the Federation. You called that conference call last Wednesday. And you spoke then at the time, or you tweeted about a lack of federal leadership. The next evening, you had a conference call, all the premiers, with the prime minister. Where do we stand, Premier Mo, at this juncture today? Where do we stand with this blockade, and what do you want to see done?
Well, it needs to end, and it would be my hope that the folks that are blocking the rails would actually take that down, and the offer is there for dialogue with the federal government, but only if they remove the blockades that are impacting Canadians from coast to coast. We brought the premiers together last week by request of a number of premiers. Out of that conversation that we had, there was a couple of things. First was unanimous consent that these barricades do need to come down, and that we need to have a first minister's call, of which we were able to have the very next day. And I was somewhat hopeful with respect to the prime minister's comments after that call, as he went out in the media the day after and really reflected the narrative of our call, where using language such as the barricades need to come down, the rule of law needs to be followed, and it is the patience of Canadians is really running out. And so, you know, my hope at this juncture is when we start this next week here that these barricades are down and our economy is allowed to function again. And if it isn't, that it would be just tremendously disappointing, I think, for all Canadians.
Are you disappointed that the RCMP did not take action? I spoke yesterday with former British Columbia Premier Ujjal Dosanjh, who pointed out that the RCMP doesn't need to go to a court and get an injunction to take action. They are empowered to do that.
I agree, and we see really what is a problematic trend, if you will, with law enforcement at all levels. We have provincial police, municipal police, and RCMP that at times will not enact not even the laws per se, but not enact a court order. And I've said many times over the course of the last week that legislators and elected members create the laws, the courts interpret those laws, and our law enforcement agencies enforce those laws. Again, politicians don't direct them as to how, but that's at their discretion. But the discretion as to whether or not they enforce the laws is not theirs. That is the expectation of the government of Saskatchewan, for sure, and I would say the vast majority of Canadians expect the same.
Premier, when you and I spoke last weekend, you pointed out that you didn't have rail disruptions in Saskatchewan. But now we know that these disruptions, wherever they are, and they're springing up in different places. You had one in Saskatoon yesterday. I don't know if it's still ongoing. But it is affecting your province. It is affecting all Canadians. And what specifically is happening to the people in your province?
Well, the impact is large here. I spoke with a significant-sized exporter the other day that exports around the world. He has, over 30 containers that are caught in transport. Our exports of our agri-food products, our potash products, never mind the imports. I talked with a fellow in the energy business earlier this week as well, where he is waiting for some rather specialized equipment that is waiting at port and should be loaded on a train and brought out here. So he's trying to figure out how he can continue with his business without this very specialized equipment that he needs. So it's impacting our economy. Also has the challenge of impacting our economy on a little longer term basis with respect to not supplying our customers and not being that reliable supplier that, you know, 10 years ago we were regarded as, and we've had a number of challenges just this year, but in the last half a dozen years for sure, that have started to impact that reputation. So we have to be very, very careful here and in how we manage this to ensure that we aren't affecting Canada's reputation as we move forward.
If the demand of the Prime Minister that the finally that the barricades must come down, if that isn't heard or listened to, is there opportunity for provincial leaders like yourself to circumvent the federal government and speak directly with hereditary chiefs and First Nations?
Well, we'll see where this goes. There's a number of options, and the first and foremost option that I hope, and I think many do, is that it comes to a peaceful resolution and those involved to remove the blockades for the greater good of all Canadians, including people from their home community. The second is that ultimately the OPP or a combination of the OPP and the RCMP understanding there's multiple blockades, they're not just in Ontario, across this nation, that the RCMP has a role to play in coordinating how these are dealt with across Canada. And last I checked, we still are a nation. We aren't quite an ocean yet, Roy, as Blaine and I had talked about a number of months ago. But, you know, here's the irony in what's occurring here when we talk about reconciliation. And where I go when we talk about reconciliation with our Indigenous communities, Indigenous people, is economic reconciliation, working with our communities and individuals on ensuring that they can become economically sustainable, engaging in the resource development that we have in Saskatchewan. And we have excellent examples of that in the forestry industry, in the potash mining industry, with some of the procurement in our mining industry. The chemical itself has a tremendous record when it comes to engaging the Indigenous people and Indigenous communities. And in order for that to happen, we need our rail transport. We need this LNG gas line in order to engage not only our Indigenous communities in an economic sense, but engage all Canadians and really benefit all Canadians.
Yeah, and the Indigenous communities along that line, along that gas link pipe of the LNG line, are in favor. They've signed off. They want it.
All supportive, and I suspect for a number of reasons. First and foremost, is likely there is an economic benefit to the people that live in their communities. Likely, they have realized that this is a gas line that can go a tremendous way in reducing our global greenhouse gas emissions, thereby being good for our environment as global citizens. Most certainly, they have signed off for the reason that the company that is building the gas line has engaged with their communities over the last 5 or 6 years, is my understanding. So this is a little bit perplexing that we're at this state, and a little bit perplexing that it is taking this long to get us back to some sense of normalcy, if you will, for our Canadian economy, really.
Yeah. Premier, thank you. It's always good talking to you. Thank you for the time today.
Great, Roy. You have a wonderful weekend.
And you.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.